Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk about the NBA's postseason tonight. Both Western Conference series have a game number three. We were just talking about the pressure facing the Houston Rockets tonight in Utah. Joining us here on the show is our friend Jared Greenberg. He joins us from NBA TV. Jared, how are you doing, my friend?
We need a term like DFA in the NBA. That's like in the real world when people try and say that they get laid off and really they got fired.
Yeah.
I mean, why cushion the blow? Why don't the Mets just say they fired Matt Harvey?
It's funny because when you use F in almost anything, it sounds like it's a curse word. And in this case, sounding like somebody got DFA'd, it just sounds dirty, doesn't it?
The emphasis, right? The emphasis is always on the F.
And the A.
DFA, you know?
Yeah. So we were just discussing all the pressure that's on the Houston Rockets tonight, and let's start with what's your best guess on why the Rockets did not respond to the energy that the Jazz had in Game 2? Even Mike D'Antoni said, you know what, we played like we weren't ready for Game number 2. How does that happen?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting dynamic for teams when they're trying to deal with the immense amount of success they had in the regular season and the incredible expectations they have, and then kind of dealing with that success as they progress through the regular season. You know, I'll kind of relate it a little bit towards Philadelphia last night. You're up by 22 points. You're feeling really good about yourself. But because you've never been through it with this group of guys before, and some of these guys have never been through it at all, you don't understand that it's the playoffs. And just because you're up by 22 doesn't mean the team is going to wave the white flag. And from Houston's standpoint, just because you're the number one seed and just because you won game one and just because you're back on your home court for game two doesn't mean this team, who many people think have no business being in the playoffs, is just going to go and lay down and die for you. You know, and that's something that I think Mike D'Antoni touched on, is that, you know, they, you know, kind of got lulled to sleep here. You know, they got a false sense of reality of what it takes to continue to progress. And sure, James Harden and Mike D'Antoni and certainly Chris Paul have been in the playoffs before, and plenty of other guys on the roster have been in postseason runs. They've never done it together, and they've never had to manage the expectations they're dealing with together. And I think it was probably a good lesson learned for them in game two.
When it comes to the Jazz, they had a great regular season against the Golden State Warriors. And to me, it's way too soon to start talking about whether or not they could actually give the Warriors a run. But it seems pretty obvious they're not going to bow down to anybody. Why are the Jazz so much better than we expected coming into the season, outside of just the simple fact that nobody knew that Donovan Mitchell was going to be this good?
Right. Well, I mean, you got to start there. And, you know, I think it's kind of widespread this year. It's incredible. I mean, it starts with Donovan Mitchell. But, you know, D.A., you know, you and I have had this conversation before. Historically in the NBA, young guys – very rarely, if ever, are the best team on a playoff team that A, gets there, B, wins a game, and C, wins a series. Okay, so now you've got Donovan Mitchell in Utah, who's clearly the most important and best player on his team, advancing to the second round. They've already won one game against the best team in basketball this year. You know, you got Boston last night doing what they're doing with all those young players, Philadelphia with all their young players who don't have the experience. I mean, this is a very different year than we've typically ever seen, and the fact that we're getting so many young players having a major impact on this playoffs is incredible. But I think with Utah, you know, let's give credit to the players, obviously, for being as talented as they are, but also for embracing the team aspect of this. You know, they've had to go through a couple of different transformations of how they played this year due to a bunch of different injuries. I mean, think about a lot of Donovan Mitchell's success this year has been because of how important Rudy the point guard has been to him. I don't know why I'm blanking on this name right now. I'm having some sort of Friday issue with me right now. Ricky Rubio. Thank you, DA, for your help. Appreciate that. Ricky Rubio meant so much to Donovan Mitchell. And then Ricky Rubio's out. And then seamlessly, Donovan Mitchell all of a sudden transitions into the point guard and has no problem with it. But I think all of that starts with the coach and the culture and the system they set up there. They've all embraced Quinn Snyder. I voted for Quinn Snyder for Coach of the Year, and I think he's very much deserving of the award this year.
As a great what if, Jared Greenberg, NBA analyst for NBA TV, as a great what if,
yeah.
If Gordon Hayward did not leave and stayed in Utah, would the Jazz be one of the best teams in basketball?
Would he still have gotten hurt 5 minutes into the season, though?
Well, let's say a healthy Gordon Hayward.
If they have Gordon Hayward, they probably don't. Oh, well, the Rubio trade probably still happens. You know what? It's an interesting dynamic. I would venture to say this. It took them in Utah, you know, a few weeks into the season to realize just how important Donovan Mitchell would be to them and how ready he was. Granted, they knew before all of us how good he was, and there's some rumors and there's some stories about the draft workout that Donovan Mitchell had in Utah, and where they basically, you know, told everybody who was in the gym for his personal workout with Utah, you know, if anybody in this gym spreads the word about how good this guy was, that you're probably going to be fired from this organization. That's how much we covet this guy, and we don't want anybody else in the 12 spots above us in the draft to find out we want him that badly. But even with that said, you know, it still took them a little bit to understand that this guy in his first year would be this dynamic, be this impactful for us. So I don't know if Gordon Hayward's there. You know, just kind of similar situation in Boston, right? Like, if Gordon Hayward doesn't get hurt, does Jason Tatum become a guy as important? Does he get the opportunity? If Kyrie Irving doesn't go down, do we ever see Terry Rozier play this amount of minutes? No. You know, so it's not that easy just to say if Gordon Hayward was there, then him and Donovan Mitchell would be one of the best 1-2 punches in basketball, because I just don't know if he gets that opportunity.
That's a good way to put it. Last night, LeBron has another epic game. Do you think that the Cavaliers taking both in Toronto was simply about elite immortal LeBron doing elite immortal LeBron things, or
stop right there, that's it,
has nothing to do with the Raptors?
I mean, he is doing things at a level that just don't make sense. It just is. You know, everything we talked about the last 3 years, how he's gotten his body and mind and team right to make the long postseason run, he did totally different this year. He flipped the script out of necessity because he didn't have Kyrie Irving, because he didn't have that supporting cast of dependable guys around him who he knew would be able to ride with him to the NBA Finals. He played 82 games for the first time in his career. He led the league in minutes played per game this year, right? He had his most efficient offensive year probably of his entire career. He's in his 15th season, 33 years old. He's played more playoff minutes than anybody in the history of the game. And yet, we thought he'd run out of gas. He's getting better. Like, the shots he was hitting last night, the game plan he had last night, on top of the fact of getting everybody else involved. Listen, I agree. He has a complete mental edge. He owns the entire country of Canada right now when it comes to basketball. There's no question. But it's not because the Raptors are inferior. It's because LeBron James is one of the greatest players, one of the greatest phenomenons we've ever seen step on the court.
Okay, so you don't assign that any blame to the Raptors not playing up to their potential in the first two games?
D.A., yes. I would put this on. Listen, the Raptors have plenty of fault here, but by placing any of that would take away from the greatness of LeBron. Like, we need, as much as we are too much a prisoner of the moment, I think for whatever reason with LeBron, we want to separate ourselves from that and not allow ourselves to recognize his absolute dominance. D.A., the team around him has no business threatening to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? The way they played this year, they've had, as Ty Lue said, three different kind of transformations this year from the team they opened up training camp with to the team they had in about December or January, and then the team they have now post-trade deadline with all these new faces. LeBron James is the only reason why they're in this position, the only reason why, for the first time this year, the Raptors have lost consecutive games of their home court, and likely why, for the first time all season, they'll become the final team of the NBA to lose three games in a row. The Raptors have not lost three games in a row all season. They're the only NBA team to do so, and that will probably not hold up come Saturday, as they will lose for a third straight. And yes, a lot of that falls on the Raptors.
Well,
but by talking about the Raptors is taking away from just how great LeBron is, because I don't care what you're – if LeBron plays the Warriors at this level, he's going to give them a run for their money, except the problem is the Warriors have some all-time greats on their team too, and that's why they're able to beat him. The Raptors don't have that.
I think that's totally fair. And when you look at the length of time that LeBron's been doing this, I think about Larry Bird a lot. I mean, he played in the NBA for 13 seasons. I mean, the final two or three, he was basically without a back for most of it.
Yeah.
Now we've got 15 years of LeBron. Imagine Larry Bird dropping 43 in a playoff game in 1994, 1995. It's just impossible to believe. You're not supposed to be doing this much, this long, this deep into your career. And LeBron shows no signs of slowing down, like he could do this for another 3 or 4 years.
D.A., he got 43 on 28 shots. He played 41 minutes just to rub their nose in it, right? He probably could have played about 36 minutes, 35 minutes. Think about that. 43 points in about 35 minutes on 28 shots. A game after going 12 for 30 from the field.
Against one of the best defenses in the NBA.
Correct, right. The Raptors, the only team this year that were both top five in offense and defensive efficiency. The Raptors are a really, really good basketball team. Really good basketball team. LeBron James is one of the greatest players of all time, and we need to start recognizing that.
Jared Greenberg. Follow him on Twitter, at Jared S. Greenberg, NBA TV, all over the NBA playoffs tonight. Two Western Conference, both Western Conference series. Have a game number three. Always good to catch up, buddy. I'll let Ricky Rubio know you said hello.
Well, D.A., you know, you're always a great teammate. Appreciate the assist.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.